will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. I surrender it all to you, O God.
Welcome to Prophetic Prayer Warrior Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Kim Jackson.
And I'm your co-host, Taronda Hamilton.
Taronda, we're doing a pre-recorded show this time. You know, I believe that God still wants us to do something amazing through this ministry. And what I mean by amazing, I mean that God wants us to continue on spreading the word of what he wants to do in the body of Christ. You know, as we were sitting in our, you know, our little meeting today,
what meeting, Kim? Now, everybody wasn't there. What meeting are you talking about?
I know. Well, we're part of the Intercessory Prayer Meeting. And we call it, initially, PMI? I'm sorry, get my mind together.
Slow down, Kim. I know. IPM, Intercessory Prayer Ministry.
So, you know, you have to correct me every time.
I got you.
But as we were sitting in our meeting, something just came to me for the topic. Because, you know, normally we don't try to plan our topics of what we're going to do on our show. We always let God show us a topic. Because our main goal is to reach out to those in need of God's blessings, of God's spirit at that time. So the topic came to me was renewing the spirit of the body. See, I had to get my notes. See? Thank you. Renewing the spirit of the body. Well, see, the spirit of the body could be the body of Christ. It could be your spiritual body. It could be the body of prayer. See, however you want to look at this, God is saying that he wants to renew us. You know, I've been on a trip for the last 10 days again. This is not the Vipassana trip. I went out to California, and as I was out there, and as our listeners know, I'm one that don't like to fly. We talked about this last time.
We talked about that.
But what I did was, when I went out, I just got on the plane, went out there, and did what God wanted me to do, which was be in that area. As I was out there, the view was just so amazing, so breathtaking. And as I was taking it in, I know we had talked back and forth, Toronto, about, you know, what is God showing you?
Right.
He didn't show me nothing but just the beauty of the land. So as I was just gathering it all up, going through these mountains, it's like I start seeing these clouds coming over these mountains like rivers of water. And it's just
amazing.
It's amazing. So amazing. So as I came back, still didn't have anything about the show. But as we sat in the meeting, it came. God is wanting to renew the body of Christ. I know everyone's looking for that revival that they had back in the 1800s, the 1900s. But I don't think God is going to do it that way.
Kim, you know, he's promised to do a new thing.
Exactly, a new thing.
No. It's the same God, but a new thing. But Kim, before we get too far into the program, let us introduce our two guests that we also have in the studio with us.
Yes, we have a new person in the studio with us. You know, we've been trying to get her with us for a long time, Taronda. Right. I think she's been, I don't know if she's been scared of just sitting in front of the mic, but you know, we finally got Georgia here with us.
Amen.
Georgia's part of our intercessory prayer team. And you know, we're bringing back an old favorite, the one that just called in on the show last week, but was hosting it with me the last time. Jeanette, how are you doing?
I'm well, Mr. Kim, how you doing?
I'm doing. And Georgia, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
Awesome. I'm doing good. You know, with our topic today, the renewing the spirit of the body, how do you guys see that? I know we was at the meeting today together. We may not have seen all of this as we was talking. But this renewing the spirit of the body, I mean, if it's just the body of Christ, the prayer body, or is it just your individual body? How do you guys see that?
when you speak of the topic, I mm-hmm. see all of that. I think it's a renewing, and God is calling for a renewing in all of it, in the church, in our prayer, both individually and collectively as a body, but then also in our personal bodies and what God would have us to do. But we have to be open to receive what he's bringing to us, because there is a renewing coming, and it has to come, for me, in my opinion, it has to come in all those facets in order for his ultimate blessing or ultimate plan for us as a people, for us as a nation, for us as a body to grow.
Amen. I like that.
Amen.
Now, Jeanette, what do you think? I'm going to always pull you out because, you know, we just have that connection to where we just know each other like that. And then it's just the prayer, the years that we've been in the prayer ministry. And we saw each other grow from that small Christian that sat in the corner and said, you know, I'm not ready to pray yet. But just wait a minute. It's not my time yet. So
yeah, that was a tough act to follow, but that was pretty good, George, I tell you. I mean, Reverend Hamilton just said it, you know, eloquently. And you know, when she said that God is going to do something new, renewing the spirit. And when we look at something new, Ecclesiastes says there is nothing new under the sun. Well, it may not be new in form, but it's new in fashion.
Huh.
It's new in fashion. So we had the Azusa Street Revival.
Yes.
We had that. So it went over big, but now it's going to be another revival in a different way.
You know, we talked about that many a times, about that revival, Tronda. Mm-hmm. About being, we want to be part of it, but we just don't know how God wants this done.
You know, I think about when you mention it, I think about how when Jesus came and his ministry was limited to first the 12 and then whatever city he was in. And now that he has gone, sits at the right hand of the Father and sent the Holy Spirit, the revival now must begin with each one of us as an individual. And if that happens, and when that happens, mm-hmm. revival is everywhere. So when Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift that's in you, this is the time for that stirring. It's not the time to panic. It's not the time to be frightened. It's not the time to step back, but it's the time to stir it up. And we have to stir it up within each one of us. And then the revival will not just happen on this street, Azusa, Topeka, different parts of the world or town, not in China or any place else, but it'll stir up everywhere. And that's the revival that I'm looking to see. And the only way it's going to happen is if we allow the Spirit to reign in us and not the fear that everyone is trying to place on us.
Well, let me play the advocate of this, because I love what you said. I always think, I just said it today, she has such an anointing on her, such a teaching anointing. Well, what if that revival, now God forbid, I'm just putting it out there, mm-hmm. if God said, I'm going to tear down the structure that now exists to reframe it to the way I want it. In other words, we talked about how the church body has, instead of being in the world, they became of the world. Mm-hmm. They accepted the world policies, the world ways, the world doctrine. But then they trying to blend the world doctrine with God's doctrine. Which, what it said, God tell you that sin and God can't be in the same place?
Mm-hmm. Now, my response to that, what's going to happen if God decides to tear down all that other stuff? My response would be hallelujah, because that's when God begins to move. Mm-hmm. And if that means he has to tear down something in me, so be it, because I want to see the revival. Now, Kim, let me share the scripture that we have also for today, which can be found in 2 Corinthians 7, verses 1 through 3. And it says, therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Now, if you reverence God, And if you really want to see God's move, then we've got to start with ourselves and not look at everybody else. And I don't care what this one's doing or that one, because my goal is to perfect myself in reverence to God. And so therefore, when that happens and all of us have that mindset, we have become one. Man, ain't no stopping us.
No, it ain't.
There's no stopping us.
Yeah.
Georgia.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you were talking about what if God does make those changes and what if God does it in a way that we're not accustomed to. And Tarana said, bring it on. I immediately got fearful because I was like, what if he does bring it differently than what I'm used to, than my normal? What if he throws it out in a different way, where he puts someone in place that I personally don't have the support, I don't support that person or their ideals, then I have to trust God. Mm-hmm. And I have to renew myself to realize and remember that all things work together for good.
Yes.
And even though it may look bad for us, it may look bad that someone takes leadership that should not be in leadership in our minds, we've got to trust God that his will is being done. And we have to trust him and know that he is doing a new thing, even if it's not the thing we want to do or to see done, or the person we want it done to, because there are going to be some people that get favor.
Yeah.
And that we may not agree with that, but we have to remember God's will be done.
Yes. And this is going to be the time that we're going to have to really stand on the scripture. We're mm-hmm. going to really have to know what God is speaking to us.
Yes.
Number one, he says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And he also said that all things work together for my good. So if I keep this in mind, there should be no fear, because I'm in God's hands. So there should never be fear. Fear will rise up. That's why he tells us also to cast down every thought and imagination that exalts itself against the word of God. He says us not to fear, and we do fear. That's when we really have to step back and rely on what God is telling us. So those of us that stand strong in God, we don't have to. We just sit back and say, God, do what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. And when you need me, I'll rise up. Mm-hmm. Jeanette.
Fear.
See, that, not that word. Please, not that word.
Fear. False evidence appearing real.
Hey, I like that. I love the definition.
False evidence appearing real. And if we know this and know that God is who he is, that's just, it's false evidence. This is not, you know, his way or his way for us.
But we as people, we get so caught up in our normal. We get caught up on how we want to see things.
And what is normal. And
exactly. But we don't allow God to show us that new thing. We keep saying, oh, show me the new thing. He's going to do a new thing. But if it's a new thing that we're not used to seeing, we step back and go, whoa, wait a minute, God.
What is this?
Are you sure? Are you sure? Because this is not how I'm used to seeing it. But then you just pray for a new thing. So are you truly praying for the new thing? Or are you telling God you want to give conditions on what the new thing is?
And see, that's the point. We want the new thing, but we don't want it the way God wants to give it to us. We want it the way that we perceive it. Because if I'm used to you always coming to my right side, and you decide, well, I don't want to do that. I want to come to your left side. You're like, wait. You can't do that. No. You always supposed to come to the right. I mean, just as, you know, as you guys are speaking, I hate to go into politics, but I'm going to go here.
Go where we go.
We have candidates. Their views are different than the church. No matter how you look at either one, their views are different than the church. Whichever one God chooses to put in place, the church is going to have to restructure. Because the way that they're doing business...
It's and that's the word, business.
It can't be done the same way. Because you have two people claiming to love God. But yet, if you look at the fruit of their labor, are they truly loving God? Are they truly loving self and world and power? I mean, I don't know Hillary. I don't know Donald. But if you just hear the things that they're doing, and the way people are getting stirred up, and the way it's almost like they have reached down into a barrel of soot and pulled up everything from the bottom and brought it up. And by bringing it up, it's like, okay, this is what we're going to use. And to me, this is almost like God has stepped back and said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you the thing that you asked me for. Then when you get what you want, then you're going to cry out to me. You remember it's in the book of Samuel, where the people kept crying out for a king. Yes. And God said, this king is going to put you under he's going to put you in bondage. And as he puts you in bondage, you're going to cry out to me. And that's exactly what Saul did to the people. And I believe whoever gets in the office, this is what's going to happen to the body of Christ. We're going to go in bondage because we have turned away from the things of God. We're looking for finances. We're looking for people. We have turned into the Pharisees, or we know the scripture from cover to cover, but yet we don't know the Spirit of God. We have lost the Spirit of God.
Well, you know, I wouldn't say we lost it. We've been desensitized to it.
I love it. You're right. Desensitized.
We have so many things going on that we've just got so consumed. I mean, TV has consumed us. Radio has consumed us. And as good as gospel music is, we've allowed it to consume us. We don't listen for a fresh word for ourselves from God. And so we've been desensitized. Our jobs, our search for prosperity, riches, relationships, all these things we have allowed to nullify or minimize the Spirit of God. And it is no longer a priority for a lot of people. We say it, but do we really listen to it? And I think that's what you're talking about when we talk about our politicians.
Yeah.
We speak it, but are we walking it?
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're going to have to turn that corner. At what point in time? I don't know.
Now. Now's the time.
But the question is, now maybe to us, but when is God's now?
He's working through us. Mm-hmm. And that's what we forget. We sit around saying we're waiting on God. God has said, I'm waiting on you. I have given you everything you need. It's there. What are you going to do? I can't do anymore. I sent my son. He died for you. I've empowered you with my Holy Spirit. What more can I do? I've given it to you. It's laid at your feet. It's in your hearts. I said my spirit would no longer strive with man. It would not move upon man, but it will be in you. So it's in there. What are we doing with it? When he says, get up and go pray for this person, are we still sitting down? And we fail to realize when you pray for the one, you're strengthening one who can go out and pray for another one and strengthen another one. So we begin to grow and multiply. But if I sit on mine, then I'm sitting on generations. So it's not what God is going to do, it's what are we going to do? Whew. I'm sorry. What are we gonna do? It's on us.
It's becoming to where God is trying to empower us. I mean, we've been talking about this for the last going on 3 years, and we're at a point now. Either you're gonna stay on the ledge, or you're gonna jump. Which one you gonna do?
A thought.
Okay.
2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, now he's given us a mandate. If my people will humble themselves and pray. Okay, so he's saying, this is what I need you to do.
Yes, and the next movement, though, we have been praying. And the thing that we have been discussing here in the last few sessions is, at the point that we pray, there's always going to be an action to follow. We stop when we pray. We are praying and we are praying earnestly. And here comes that scripture again. Paul in Acts, he said, you know, that the church was praying earnestly. They were with all their heart pouring out everything. And yet they didn't believe when God moved. Mm-mm. They prayed for Peter to be released. They were earnest and sincere in their prayer, but they still did not believe God would do it. Do we have a lack of faith now? Is that what it is? Or is it when he does it like Rhoda and you go to the store and you see, I mean, to the door and you see Peter standing there, you still don't believe God freed him. So you leave him standing outside. So we've prayed, we see our vision and God's answer, but we don't act on it because we see it and we're in so much shock that God answered us. We don't do anything. We don't let it in.
But now I'm going to give you a perfect example. Today, I had been asking all week because, you know, going into certain things and I'm like, okay, Lord, I need this. I really need this. I had been asking since last Saturday. And after our meeting, God met that need. So I wasn't there with my mouth open. I'm saying like, you the dude, you the man, you know, you're the one. Because as I was asking, I knew. In my heart of hearts, it might not have been Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but I knew he was going to answer.
And we have to get to that place in every area of our life.
Absolutely.
Every area of our life. And that goes back to our topic, renewing the spirit of the body. We've got to renew our thinking and wake up every day with an expectation.
Absolutely.
I'm expecting God to look for him instead of saying, oh, God, here goes another day. Or I've been to this place and it failed before. It's going to fail again. Those type of mindsets we've got to get away from.
Absolutely.
Because we're condemning ourselves and stunting our own growth. We've got to renew every single day because every single day we will be inundated with stuff that will nullify the spirit in us. Kim?
It goes back
your
to
topic.
What, I know it goes back to what we've been talking about for years. Getting in that relationship, getting into that quiet place, finding where God wants you. But I mean, we're not going to stop talking about this.
We can't until the movement runs.
I mean, if we have to increase the number of shows that we do to continue talking about this, till we reach the number of people that God wants us to reach. We're going to do it.
Our whole thing is not to find followings, but encourage people to become leaders.
Yes. Because we have
enough. We don't need you to follow us.
Yeah, we have enough followers out there.
Yes, we got plenty. We need people to step up and become leaders in their own area, their own location. Georgia, what's on your mind?
You know, I'm going back to when Kim brought in our leadership in the presidential election. And I look at it in a different way. Our God has shown it to me in a different way. Because, you know, I make the joke, you know, if Trump becomes president, I'm leaving the country.
Yeah, you and about a million people said the same thing.
But there'd be nobody here but him.
Exactly. But then God asked me, he said, no, if Trump becomes president, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I'm leaving the country. He said, no, I've called you to be my child and to do what I need you to do. What are you going to do? Are you going to do what I need you to do? Are you ready?
Because there are some people that need his reign.
Exactly.
There are some people that need for him to be in charge. But for us, God is in charge. It doesn't matter who sits in that house.
Exactly.
God is the ultimate leader. And this is what we have to remember.
Because I think if Trump, you know, it's not something that I want, but God's plan, God's will be done. But if he becomes president, what are we as followers of God going to do? Are we going to allow it? We're the ones that help shape the country. It's just not one man.
Exactly.
What are we going to do? Are we going to stand up and say, no, we don't want this? Because Trump will do whatever, whomever's sitting in front of him, he will say whatever they want them to hear.
Yeah.
That's just him. He's proven that. But what are we going to do as a country and what are we going to expect of our leader? It's not going to be him running the country like he does his businesses. He now has to answer to us. So what are we going to do to ensure that he answers to us and does what we asked him to do? Because now he doesn't realize it. But if he takes on that role, he's becoming a servant of the nation, not just the people that he has in Trump Towers, but he now becomes a servant of the nation. So is he going to be able to do that? Which, you know, in my opinion, I don't think he will.
Okay, let's keep this tied into our topic, renewing the spirit of the body. What are we going to do to renew our spirit individually, community, church, family? What are we going to do?
We have to start joining together. There's been enough of divisions in churches. We have enough denominations where you have pastors saying, oh, this is my sheep, this is my flock. Well, if you want to put it on the table and write it all down, these are none of your people. They're crisis people.
Exactly.
You're just the leader that God has put in place for that time. We need to, one, stop putting the ones who are in leadership on pedestals. These are men. Mm. God put them there to teach us, to help us grow, to get to that next level. But when you put a man on a pedestal and at the same level as God, he's going to fail you. Two, he's going to think that he deserves whatever you're giving him. The money, the fame, whatever comes with it. But we have got to stop this. We've got to, as the body of Christ, start taking what the leader of the church has given us and start reaching out across the nation and touching each other and sharing the love of Christ. Christ never said, I want you to build a building, put pews in it, gather up all these ministers, put them in a pew pit. I want you to just every Sunday preach these words. Because if you ever sat down as Christians and listened to the pastors preach, go from year to year to year, you find out that a lot of the sermons are recycled. There's nothing new. Just like if you look at the music industry, a lot of things are recycled. There's no vision. There's no purpose. It's only, you're just there. We've got to get back to the mission and the will of God, which is to share, to love. No matter if you're a person sitting in the gutter, you still love them. No matter if you're homosexual, you still love them. You may not love the sin, but you love the person.
Kim, now let
go
me.
Ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, we may not love the sin, but we always seem to forget sin only means disobedience.
Yes.
You're being disobedient to the call that God has placed on your life. So if my sin of disobedience is going left when God told me to go right, I am no different than anyone that has the wrong lifestyle, the murderer, the thief. I am no different. And so therefore, if I am disobedient to the call and the will of God, then I'm sinning. So that's all of us.
Yeah, we all sin.
The call is to love. Even in our disobedience, to love them in whatever they're doing. Love is what's going to draw. That's what people are crying out for. Whatever lifestyle they have, they're crying out to be accepted and to be loved. And that's God. Love. That's God. And if you want to represent him, then that's what we have to do. So when we got to get away from being judgmental. We got to get away from pointing fingers at different ones because they're different from us, or we don't understand what they're doing. I have to embrace you, and I expect you to embrace me. So when we talk about our churches and our denominations, we're the most segregated folks on any given Sunday, much less during the rest of the week. And we truly don't love each other.
Because we don't know how.
And so we have to learn. And who's the teacher? Who's the teacher? Who's going to teach us to love? The Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So it all goes back to the Spirit of God. Following that Spirit, being sensitive to that Spirit. And like we always say, Kim, we're not saying this to everybody in the audience, but we're saying that to us in the studio. We are called to love, regardless. If you step on my toes, if you don't act right, if you hurt my feelings, I am called to love you beyond that, because God did the same for us.
And you know, I had a conversation with my family over the holidays last year. And that topic was one of the things that came up, love. And I shared something with them. I said, you know, in our world, we don't know what true love is. We think of true love as, well, I love you if you give me things. I love you if you do what I want you to do. I love you because you give me this. You say the words. But love is more than just a few letters.
It's action.
Yes. But we have to make that turn. We have to renew that body. Yes. And only way to renew that body is to turn back to God. Like you were saying, Jeanette, we have to turn from our sins and invoke the power of God in our lives.
And that's the revival.
But it's becoming a way that we don't know how. We've gotten so far away from God to where we can't find our way back.
Never. At the point that you realize that I'm going the wrong way, at that moment, that's when you have acknowledged God and he will reveal himself. So we can never get that far is when that moment that I did, that moment of conviction hits us. That's God's way of saying, hey, now I got your attention. I can turn you around.
But what about that person who's that drug addict, that adulteress, the person who pretty much used to be a Christian but decided to turn away? What about them? Are they able to come back to God?
Oh, wait. I cannot think of anybody. As long as there's breath in your body, you have an opportunity to turn. And not so much always just to turn, but recognize he's there. I believe all of them, and I may be wrong, but I believe all of them are also looking for something. And because they didn't find it, this is the path they've chosen. But for us that know what they're looking for, we are the light. Yeah. We're the ones that are going to reveal God to them. But if our light is dim or just as dark as theirs, they'll always be out there. But there's an opportunity. So our responsibility is to be the light.
See, what do you guys think? I mean, I'm just curious. I know we've been through a topic like this before in the Ancestry Prayer Team. I know we talked about the direction of the church. We talked about the direction of the elections. We do pretty much talk about the body, how it's just pretty much gone dormant. What are your guys' thoughts on that? I mean, what do you see? Maybe I'm seeing things differently than you guys. I don't know. Share something with me. I'm curious. Come on. You have to. Because this is not just a one-person show or a two-person show. This is a body show. This is everybody's.
Let me give you something to comment on.
Come on. See?
This morning I woke up and... something's been on my mind for quite a while. I want you guys to respond to this because I'm going to share something with you. But I read something that said, you know, how everybody's on Facebook. And it says, Facebook is more than a place to share, say amen, and to comment. It could be more than that. And when I woke up this morning, I saw the comment. It says, what are you thinking? And I thought that and I'm like, okay, what am I thinking? And this is what I wrote, and I need you guys, the ladies, to answer this. It says, to all the men I know, I saw a post on Facebook that stated it was a place for more than just likes, amens, and sharing. I'm concerned about our community's boys, brothers, fathers, uncles, sons, men in general. For all of you who are gifted with words of wisdom, go deep within and draw them out. Use your voice and precious time, life is short, to pour into as many brothers as you can the heartfelt, positive, encouraging, strengthening, stern, loving, teaching, caring, and uplifted messages that I know is in so many of you. I've heard it, not just on Facebook, but on the radio, the streets, your homes, any place you hang out, to the random stranger who looks like he needs it, your neighbors, writing a book or start an internet website. Use any means available. It's a dark time. Be a light. My sisters often seek help in many ways only to return to broken men. Let's help each other. For those who will hear my cry, we need. Help restore our community. Me and my sisters need you. We are strong, priestly, and royal people destined for greatness. Let's get there. Together we stand, divided we fall. To all the men I know, be a light. I support you in every way I possibly can. Restoration will come through us. I'm not looking for likes, amens, or sharing unless you're ready to follow it with action. We need you regardless of what the sisters say.
Amen to that. Sorry.
Wow.
Renewing the spirit. How do we do that? What do you think?
I mean, what you wrote is such a call to action for our men to let them know that we do have a desire and a need for them. to let them know that they are needed, and particularly in the Black community. Mm-hmm. And that needs to be shared. And, you know, we as women need to uplift.
Yes.
Because as soon as you're reading that, I think about my son. And I think about my son and have I done all that for him? Did I encourage him? Did I raise him in the right way so that when he goes out, that he is that example and he is that light? And I pray that I've done that. But then when I think about the other children that I have been blessed with having in my life, was I the same for them? And did I give them the same encouragement when I saw that they weren't being encouraged? But not enough of us are not just taking care of our own, but we're not taking care of others.
And we're a community. Mm-hmm. We're a community. So we have to be that light, mm-hmm. to stir up that thing that's in them. Help them, show them how to renew their spirits by renewing ours. And every day we come become empowered to go out and share what's in us with everybody around us. Jeanette.
For a long time, I was very impartial to girls because I have two girls. But God has blessed me with two grandsons and four nephews. So for me to talk to them, you know, a lot of times, oh, Aunt Jeanette, that's old school. Nana, don't nobody do that no more. You know, but I still go because they could have been a Trayvon Martin. They could have been any one of those young Black men that lost their lives. Mm-hmm. And when I talk to them and they bring their friends around, or they, you know, they're all sitting in the living room, I'm addressing everybody. When I talk to them, hopefully they'll grasp it, think about it, you know, let it resonate in their mind. And then, you know what? Aunt Jeanette was right. Nana was right. You know, and hopefully impart it to their friends. But as a group, I don't just say, well, y'all come over here and let me talk to y'all and leave everybody else out. I talk to everybody at one time. So that in itself, yes, we need to stand up. We need to go into the community and talk to our brothers and our young brothers. You know, and sometimes they look, well, what would you know about it? You're a female. What would you know? Well, as long as God gives me the spirit to speak to you, it's not what I know, is what he's telling me to tell you.
But our call is to the brothers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Our call is to the brothers. And I won't just say the brothers, but all of us.
Exactly.
Male, the sisters, the brothers, all of, we have to come together. And it's not just for the brothers or the boys that we've lost, but it's for the ones that are lost in the darkness, mm-hmm. and don't know how to get out. So, again, renewing our spirit is going to go beyond ourselves, but it has to start with us. Kim.
You know, I love that quote you did. That was beautiful. I've always said for many years that it's a movement, that God is getting ready to do a movement in women. I know they said you need a strong man to do this. You need a strong man to do that. But in my life, I've seen strong men, but I've seen stronger women. I've seen them endure things that most men couldn't possibly endure. But then I saw a man and woman together, endure it together, and they both equally become even stronger.
Oh my God, would that be amazing if we had families and relationships like that, where both were strong. And when I say strong, I may be weak in another area, but he's strong in a different area. So together, we have become invincible.
Yeah. I mean, it's... I've always have said this. Men who seek power have taken this country to a level to where if we continue on that way, we're mm-hmm. going to be doomed.
I
think it's time for the women to come up and say, no more. No more. You have taken our children. You have taken our household. You have taken our finances. No more. Because when I grew up, my father worked. My mother didn't. And my mother would always struggle to give us food and try to make a way. I seen her make stuff out of nothing. and make a meal that would just make you want to jump up and slap somebody. But it's amazing. But if you put a man in that same situation,
he's lost.
He's going to be lost, and he's going to whine. Tell you, well, you know, we ain't got nothing. But here's some bread. Just eat that and keep going. But if a woman has some bread, a little bit of milk, she's going to make you a pudding. Mm-hmm. She's going to make you something good. But see, in today's society, man has given us nothing. They have taken more than they've given us. And I think the women of all colors need to say, stand up and say, no more. This is not only our country. I mean, it's not only your country. It's our country, too. And these are our children. Not just the children that I gave birth to, but all of our children. And women need to put this country back on track, back in God's hands. But not all women believe in God, but they're still spiritually connected.
They're connected to family, if nothing else. And if we think back, that was the first thing that God created was the family. And if nothing else, a sister is dedicated to her family. A sister in her right mind. Let me put it that way. A sister in her right mind is dedicated to her family. Now, and I'm going to speak this on behalf of the brothers, too, because now I have a real brother, blood brother, that said he's been in three relationships. All of them failed. Married twice. And he said he went back and asked them, what was the problem? Why did they fail? And each one of them, in different words, said the same thing. He was too nice.
Oh, my God.
Wow. He went back. He said, Tarinda, I needed to know. So I went back and asked them, why did it not work? And all three of them, in their different language, all said he was too nice. Wow. That's a problem.
Really?
He was a provider. He was courteous. But he was too nice. Now, I have a problem with my sisters at that attitude.
Because, you know, that goes back here with either a thug or a slave mentality.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Because I'm looking for someone to abuse me. No one is, I don't want someone to see me as the person that God
sees
me.
As a woman, female.
You know, I had a nephew, and he went through some stuff like that. He married a woman, loved her to death. And he said, Uncle, I'm just ready to get out of this relationship. And the words he uttered to me, I still laugh today. He said, Unc, I picked up the wrong rib.
I love it. I love it.
And sometimes men look for women just like women look for men. You got to be careful what barbecue you at. Because you may be picking up a rib that somebody's already eaten on.
Oh, I gave you the leftovers.
But think about
it. But it's true. And that's why, you know, and you think about the vows, it says whom God has put together. And too many times, and I'll even say in my case, I was so young, God did not put us together. I know this. God did not put me and my ex-husband together. We did that. And so we don't take the time to get the right rib, go to the right barbecue place. We go because we got references from somebody else. God is telling you don't eat at that table, and you go in there anyway because your brothers or your sisters saying this is where to go. So I can appreciate what your nephew said.
I mean, it makes a whole lot of sense. And even to this day, my nephews, what I poured into them is actually pouring into my daughter. Oh, they love my daughter's to death.
Awesome.
And they tell her what type of man that she needs to look for.
Awesome.
And I always tell her, say, honey, you don't settle for anything.
That's right.
And those are the words that need to be shared.
Yeah. And we need to share that not only to our sisters, but even to our brothers.
Our brothers, that's right.
Because God has put someone in your life. It may not be the person that you think is the arm candy, but I guarantee you, if this woman is truly sent by God, if you get down on your luck and you can't even get up to go to the bathroom, she's going to be there for you.
That's right.
I share with every young person. I say, all right, if you want to get a mate, ask this mate one question. If I was ill, could you wipe me? Would you be able to wipe my backside?
Mm-hmm. And watch out for the one that says, I'll pay for a nurse. Because see, when she get broke and can't pay for it, she be gone.
Because as a husband, as a wife, you got to be willing to do the things.
Yes.
that other people won't do. Because you took a vow in front of God that you love that person to death do you part. Not to finance leaves, not to kids go away, to death. I mean, you may be in it. I mean, if you go back in the old days, how the families would be together, the father be living in one room, the mother in another. But you ever notice that father never left his wife?
No.
No matter how much they couldn't get along, he was always there. I saw my grandmother and my grandfather go through the same thing. Mm-hmm. My grandmother said this on my grandfather's deathbed. She says, I never thought I would cry with this person. Wow. But I loved him. Mm-hmm. And see, that's the thing. I mean, I know we got off the subject of renewing us, body, but this is part of renewing.
No, this exactly. This is part of renewing.
It is.
Because if I mean, renewing is a mental thing, it's a spiritual thing, it's all of that.
Yeah.
And so going back and reflecting, when you look at the scripture, it always says, remember, remember. And too many times we forget what's important.
It's like, why?
What's important?
Life has taken over.
And I think we've also kind of gone full circle, because what your grandmother said was, I loved him. And we're back to that love thing. We've got to get back to love. Those are the basics. When you talk about getting back to the basics, yes, it's love, because that's the foundation. That's God. It's love. And we've got to learn to love. And love means I will give of myself. Mm-hmm. I will give sacrificially. I will give beyond what my capacity is to give, because I love. All that I have, I love. I renew myself because I love you. Closing remarks. Georgia, your thoughts.
When it comes to renewing, it's all the things that we've talked about. And I, as you guys were talking, it was just going back and forth in my mind, the old stories of, you know, our grandmothers and mothers talking about those things. But that was a renewing as well. When my mother said, you know, I want to tell you some stuff I did, but not enough now in this day do we have people of our age that are sharing those stories and, yes, being transparent.
Yeah.
Because the millennials are not getting those stories, not enough of them. So in closing, those that want to renew or feel that yearning that God is giving them, it's just a matter of sharing your testimony, sharing the things that you've been to, not only to your peers that, girl, I understand, but to your daughter that needs to understand that what she's going through, you did the same thing in college. I'm going through the same thing with my daughter. I did the same thing. But let's learn from my mistakes. Don't do them the same way. And here is why I'm leading you to God, so that you won't make those same changes. That's what our age needs to do to order renew our mind. Do it where we can touch the kids that we can touch. Mm-hmm. And then that will renew others. And renewing the body, everybody has their own part of the body that they're responsible for. Stay in your lane. Renew that. Pray if that's where your part of the mind, stay
Amen.
There. If you are the voice, stay there. Amen. Don't try to get in all these other places. Stay where God has led you, but also when he leads you to that part of the body that he has for you, do it.
Amen.
Ooh, I love Amen. That. I love Amen. That.
Jeanette.
Again, that's something to follow.
Next time I'll get you first. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry.
She is always on point. I promise you that. I mean, renewal for me is so many different forms. In listening as far as relationships, you know, when you say your vows and you do those vows, you're renewing them every time, for better or for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. I'm there when you're sick. I'm there when you're healthy. I'm there when you're down. I'm there when you're up. That to me is renewing. It's a renewal. It's a form of renewal. So even in relationships, when you're talking to your children, like Georgia said, when you're talking to people in general, as long as you're renewing you with the Father, you can renew other people.
Amen.
Yeah, you can.
Kim, I didn't say enough. Close it out.
Said enough.
In closing.
We can never say enough. Never. Because until we reach those who God has put in our path, we cannot say enough. Because there's a lot of young people, even there's a lot of older people who are still on this same path of trying to find the right person, the right spirit to be renewed, even the right situation in their lives, no matter what it is. But I do have one closing remark, other than what I just said. God has given us a great gift. No matter how you look at that gift, the first gift he gave us was his love. Mm-hmm. The second gift he gave us was life. Third gift he gave us was Jesus Christ. If you can't appreciate those three things, then why do we continue on complaining in our lives about things we don't have? You could have money. You could have material things. But all of those things have no life. God has given us so much, even our kids, our homes, our loved ones. These are things that God has placed in our lives for us to cherish, for us to share with others. It's up to you to make the decision in your life. If you want to renew your body and your spirit, it's up to you to say, I'm tired. There's a new path. If you had a job to where it's just not a place where God wants you at, I'm not saying quit. I'm saying get into your closet and say, Lord, why am I here? What is my purpose? What is the reason for me here? What do you want me to do? God has a purpose. God has given us everything that we need. It's up to you to follow. All right, Tron, what do you think? What is your last remark? I think you got some more.
We going to pray.
All right, let's pray.
Let's pray. Yeah, it's time to close it out. It's time to close it out. Gracious God, we thank you for allowing us to come together to share with one another. Father, we thank you for the topic, renewing the spirit of the body. Holy Spirit, move in us as never before. Lead us and guide us. Stir us up, O God. Ignite the fire till it overflows. Move in our country and move in our homes, our community, my brothers and my sisters, and all our children, O God. Set us afire as only you can. Teach us to love at all cost. Love, God, cost your son his life. And if that means giving up our life, O God, which you have required to follow after you, we have to lay down our lives and live for you. God, and with that comes so much joy, so much satisfaction, gratification. God, let us be the light that shines in darkness. Let the words that we have shared today stir not just us, but every one of our listeners. Have your way in us, O God, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. All right, we thank you for listening to our broadcast. And we ask that you continue to follow us. Our next broadcast is going to be May the 29th, 5:30 Eastern Standard Time. Please join us. And then if you want to send us an email, you can email us at prophetic.prayer.warrior@gmail.com. We look to hear from you. We'd like you to keep following us. And we also like for you to keep spreading the message that God is still alive and Jesus walks the earth.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
God bless.
You.